Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated BF Goodrich All-Terrain TAK02. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code J-O-H-N, JOHN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? How are we doing? Happy Fugazi Friday. And we had a skip last week because of a little thing called the draft. About 7 days officially away. I'm recording this Thursday afternoon at about 4:30. So the draft was starting last week at this time. Fun times. But today I wanted to dive into the 2021 draft class because four quarterbacks, not named Trevor Lawrence, are on different teams and did not have their fifth-year option picked up. So I want to discuss why those guys failed and where those teams that made those selections are now. Some thoughts on just the GMs who have spoken a lot over the last 7 days. And a consistent theme that they've been saying. I've seen some unnamed executives talk about certain teams wasting picks and trade-ups. I wanted to dive into that, how you can't trade a second-round pick to move up that far in 2025. It's like, yeah, not everyone's bad. Like, some teams are ready to win now. And a lot of front office guys throughout the NFL, because we've had a lot of turnover, this is just the time of year where they get fired. And I'm not talking GMs. I'm talking about a lot of guys that you don't know. And I just kind of want to discuss my experience and how it's a lot different than the coaching world, especially financially. You know, coaches make a lot more money than the personnel guys. So it's kind of, it's honestly much more relatable to just normal people because they're not making an insane amount of money. And then, of course, Fugazi Friday, which we'll dive into. Next, no Middlecoff mailbag this week. We'll get back to it next week. That'll be the game plan. I might record a pod on Sunday for Monday, but also might just wait till Monday. We'll see. See how I'm feeling this weekend. See what happens. And so next week, I got a bunch of questions. Keep firing in. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Make sure if you listen on Colin's feed, subscribe to 3 and Out feed. Everything's on YouTube. Appreciate everyone listening. TheVolume.com. We got merch. I got 3 and Out hats. I was wearing one earlier. And yeah, have a great weekend. But before we dive into football, I got to tell you about my friends. I was a couple weeks ago, I was taking the dog for a walk and my neighbors were outside. I'm like, where are you guys going? And because she had a cocktail on, or a cocktail in her hand, they were dressed up. Like, oh, we're going down the road to a comedy show. I'm like, God, that sounds amazing. In this negative world we live in, go to a comedy show, get some laughs, have a brewski, enjoy yourself. Well, guess what? If you download the Game Time app right now, the official ticketing app of this podcast, you can go to a comedy show. You can go to a concert. Luke Combs, I plan on going because of Game Time here at the end of the month. He's coming to Glendale. I'm like, shit, I'll go see him. Download that app, search wherever you live, any event you want to go to, NBA, NHL playoffs, baseball games, search the price points, where you want to sit. It gives you great. You can press the button to get the sight line to get a good feel for where you're sitting. You can search by different price points. I cannot recommend them enough. That app, the Game Time app, has been on my smartphone for over 2 years now, and I use it religiously whenever I go to an event. I recommend you should too. I don't even need a thank you. Here's what I need you to do. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use the code John for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code JOHN. JOHN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. There is no excitement like the draft, especially high in the draft. Everyone thinks they hit a home run. Unless you're the Falcons, you're like, what are we doing? Even if you like the pick. But for the most part, there's a reason every video you see put out by these teams on social media is excitement. Half the people in America get a divorce. Yet if you see their wedding pictures, they couldn't be happier, right? So the moment the draft happens, the excitement is at an all-time high. Now, if you hit it right and that guy becomes a star, if you draft Aaron Donald, if you draft J.J. Watt, if you draft Micah Parsons, whoever, we know all the star players that have been drafted, clearly the quarterbacks, that excitement lasts for a long time. But as Schefter put out the kind of the breakdown on his little Excel spreadsheet, that we know that under 50% of these players will get a second contract based on the last 20 years of data. And depending on the position, that number even goes down. So when a player was drafted in 2021, that quarterback draft was highly touted. It turned out to be a fucking disaster. Trevor Lawrence, while he's still in question, is clearly a starting quarterback in the NFL. The only question is he just a mid guy, as the kids would say? Is he worth a big contract? He's got a lot riding on this season. If he gets the Jags back to the playoffs, win another playoff game, he'll get a big contract. If he has a season like he did last year, he won't. But he clearly is an NFL player. I don't know if we can say of that, I mean, an NFL starter. We can't say that about the other four guys. And they all had their fifth-year options declined. They all were traded. And I honestly think there's a chance Trey Lance is the worst one of the bunch, and he got traded for the most. Well, contracts play into this. The Cowboys got him for two seasons. These other guys got traded on their last season, so you only have them under contract for 1 year. And they were all declined because you're not, these guys are all currently backups. Trey Lance technically is a third-string quarterback. You're not paying $20-plus million for that position. But I wanted to go over, I wanted to start with why each guy failed. Because there's always a reason. And let's face it, there are usually a lot of reasons young people fail. Some stuff's out of your control. But let's start with Zach Wilson. That year at BYU, the season in 2020, if you look typically, BYU plays really good teams. Plays a ton of other Power 5 teams. Plays of other top teams and other conferences. Obviously, they have some, I wouldn't call them patsies, but some lower-end competition. But on a given year, they could be playing Notre Dame. They could be playing UCLA. They could be playing Oregon. They could be playing Oklahoma. They play real teams. That year, they did not. Their schedule in 2020 was a joke. Not their fault. A lot of these conferences canceled all these out-of-conference games, and because BYU's an independent, maybe they're in the Big 12 now, but at the time, I can't keep up with all the conference realignment. You know what I'm saying? And the best team they had on their schedule in 2020 was Coastal Carolina. And I watched that game because there was a ton of hype on Zach Wilson. Didn't play that well. Didn't play that well at all. Was not debatable about his physical skills. Good movement, good arm talent, could fling the ball around. But why did he fail with the Jets? Well, first and foremost, he was very immature. And I remember talking to Colin about this years ago. The jump going from Provo, Utah to New York is probably about as big as you would get in America. Seriously. Because even if you're from a small town, like a lot of dudes are in the South, like a lot of guys that play SEC football are from rural towns, are from smaller towns. But once you go play at LSU, at Alabama, at Georgia, at Florida, well, that town, you know, Tuscaloosa might be big, but some of these, you know, where Ole Miss plays, you are under a microscope and you are covered like the NFL light. At BYU, it's a lot different. And that jump, clearly he was overwhelmed by a second season. He's throwing teammates under the bus, and it was a disaster. Then from a football standpoint, his talents never translated. Because you watched a guy that, we talk a lot about these physical gifts. Part of playing quarterback, we talk about this at other positions, like this corner's really instinctive. This running back has a great feel for where to hit the hole. That's also at quarterback. Like you watch Patrick Mahomes, he has the physical gifts, but his innate ability to just feel things and make things happen, his football instincts are elite. Most of the best quarterbacks are. Zach Wilson lacks those. Does not have them. He's a very, very frenetic player. You can't run an offense with a frenetic player. Because you can watch an individual play with Zach and go, God, I think the most remarkable play he's ever made, they were playing the Raiders. And it was like a last-second Hail Mary. And he rolled left. He's a right-handed quarterback. And he like did this 360 to juke Max Crosby in space, who's clearly one of the best players in the NFL. Rolling left toward the sideline, turned his body, contorted his body, and hooked that ball like 60-plus yards in the air. Like, his physical gifts are high-end, but his actual ability to play the quarterback simply is not. And when you don't have that capability, right, when you don't have a good feel, I'll never forget talking to a dude with the Jets a couple years ago, and you'd be like, you watch him practice, he's skipping easy balls. You don't need to make the Josh Allen 60-yard bombs. I heard Solaris say this with Coward yesterday. Those plays don't happen a lot. Do you know most of the plays in football are wheel routes to the running back, a quick slant to the wide receiver, a 10-yard out on 3rd and 8. You have to have the timing, the rhythm, the feel of the position, and he never had it. So when you factor in questions with his maturity, factoring his limitations, it's an utter disaster. Trey Lance, unlike Zach Wilson, high character, hard worker, never questioned. Even when he went through some weird shit with the 49ers, that was never an issue they had with him. One problem I think the Niners had, because Zach Wilson's schedule was a joke, Trey Lance didn't have a season. It did not exist. It got canceled. They played some one-off game that honestly, no one counts as anything. You can't even use that to evaluate anything. So he had no season. He also came from, while he plays for the Alabama of D1AA, or definitely at the time, North Dakota State, it ain't the SEC or the Big Ten or the Pac-12. So the level of competition, if you watch him, you're like, God, this is a pretty good prospect. He was completely overwhelmed physically. One of the reasons they drafted him, because they thought they were getting this hybrid player. Well, his athleticism will get in the fields, which clearly translated. His did not. And you watch him run, you go, this guy's not even very fast. Which is ironic, because Purdy, who if you just looked at the two of them standing there, and I did because I went to these practices, you go, you'd rather have the big guy. Purdy plays a lot faster just moving around than Trey Lance. And then when it comes to throwing the football, it's just kind of ugly. He does not throw a good ball. And then when you factor in, he's not that accurate. And a lot like Zach Wilson, there's a feel for the position because he's never really played that much that he doesn't have. And a huge part to me of the failure with Trey Lance was the pressure on a guy from a tiny little school that was like, this guy was traded for 3 first-round picks, which I hate that. He was traded for 2 independent first-round picks and a swap of a first round. But that's not the way people talk about it. 3 first-round picks. And it was a disaster immediately. And I think Kyle had turned on him by early on in his second year. because Kyle even tried to change the offense for him when he had to spot start his rookie year. Kyle's successful because of his offense, not some hybrid running. He tried to like institute some RG3 stuff. The problem is RG3 could run. This guy can't run. So I just don't think he's any good. Really good guy. I think a huge factor into his failures was his limited talent, the pressure, and just a disaster. But unlike Zach Wilson, that went to the herky-jerky, all-over-the-place, weird organization Jets, this guy got to go to Kyle Shanahan in a loaded roster. The other thing that I'll never forget, and these players didn't do it publicly, but it was clear, and I know enough people, they never supported him. You know why? They didn't think he could play. And the cutthroat nature of football, everyone tries to like everyone. I've been in these, when I worked with the Eagles during the season, you'd eat lunch with everybody, and at night, a lot of the players, like the cohesion between players, obviously some guys are better than other guys, but everyone's trying to lift everyone up. You get to a certain point when you view a guy as a liability, and you're a team like the Niners trying to win the Super Bowl, they weren't messing with it. They just were not messing with it. And it was clear very early that, one, Jimmy Garoppolo is not even good anymore. They knew Jimmy was dramatically better. And Kyle rigged it the second year for Trey Lance to win the job. Trey Lance could never have beat out Jimmy Garoppolo. And then clearly once Brock Purdy got in, Brock Purdy's in a different universe than Trey Lance as a player. And he was picked 262. So I think it just gets back to, I don't think he really knows how to play football. And if you want to push back development, and this is the pros. And obviously development matters, but there's a baseline you have to work with, and I don't even think he's there. So just an ultimate organizational failure. Justin Fields. To me, he is by far the most talented guy out of this group. But his downfall is a major issue. Right? Like, you can have a house that has a messed up bathroom. It's like, oh, we can fix that over time, retile it, put in a new shower head, whatever. If your foundation is fucked up, the house is a problem. I mean, if you're like, yeah, we got some major issues on the foundation, it's not going to work. If you can't throw from within the pocket in the National Football League, you just can't be a consistent quarterback. You can make splash plays, and because he's such a great runner, he makes other plays on top of that because he's got a big arm. When he's scrambling around, he can make great plays. When he's running down the field, elite athlete. It's why they're talking about him returning kicks, which I think is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of serious. He'd probably be an elite kick returner. But he can't play from within the pocket. And that was never more evident that final game against the Packers, whereas you watch Jordan Love and you watched him and you're like, one guy's playing a different sport than the other guy. Now, most coaches would tell you, especially at this point, that's not really improvable. He's going to be a good test case. We'll see him with Arthur Smith, maybe in a different offense. Maybe it can look a little bit better. But that was an issue. And listen, Kyle, they clearly missed on Trey Lance. But it was between Trey Lance and Mac Jones for a reason. They thought that Justin Fields had no pocket awareness. They didn't think he was natural there. He wasn't. They didn't even entertain taking him at pick 3. So I'm rooting for him, partly because I liked him coming out of college, but I'm also honest with myself going, that's probably not fixable. Though I've said before, if I'm a Steeler fan, I'd rather see if it is than watch Russell Wilson dink and dunk down the field. Mac Jones. I think this has a little bit of Zach Wilson. His maturity clearly popped up, which you go, well, Belichick forced him to work with Joe Judge, a special teams coach, and Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator, as the guy coaching him and running his offense. I go, I hear you, but when you're Mac fucking Jones, I don't need you pouting on the sideline 24/7, 365. Now, this year was an embarrassment. And I think like any young person, I've been there. I would imagine a lot of people listening have been there as well. When you lose your confidence, I don't care what you do for a living, it's hard to function. And he was lost at sea playing football. He was a guy, even, I think he has limited physical characteristics. No different than Kenny Pickett, no different than Alex Smith. I mean, we've seen no different than Kirk Cousins. To maximize that ability, clearly you need more help around you. Dak Prescott, Tua fall under this. But confidence is a big, big thing. Look at McDaniel with Tua. I'm not the biggest Tua guy. I like the person, I just mean the player. They do everything humanly possible to prop him up.
and do everything humanly possible to build around him with weapons. And obviously have a great play caller. That's not quite the way it went with Mac Jones. Now, once you start seeing it, you go, these physical limitations, he can't lift us up either. But I'm a Belichick guy. But once you get in bed with a player like this, they are a little more dependent on the pieces around them. Like Josh Allen could win some games with me, you, and three other people. This guy cannot. And I think I actually like Mac Jones, you could argue, the most, unless Fields is salvageable. Mac Jones is a legitimate backup quarterback. To me, he's a guy going to much more of a positive place with Doug. If Trevor plays well, like I can see Mac Jones being a backup quarterback in the NFL for like 15 years. Same thing with Kenny Pickett. The problem is that guy was drafted, one was drafted at 15, the other was drafted at 20. I got news for you. Kenny Pickett's fifth-year option ain't going to be picked up either. Could have seen that one coming from a mile away. But sometimes physical characteristics, if you don't have the instincts and the feel for the position, you got no chance. And then when you factor on poor maturity around that, like Zach Wilson, they can't stand you. With Trey Lance, it's weird. It's like I'm rooting for you, but like we're trying to win. Like we're fucking playing the Rams this weekend. Can you complete 65% of your balls? Because if you can't, we can't play with you. And that's how it became. I said this before. Obviously, Trey broke his ankle 2 years ago in week two. I think he was trending toward getting benched by the end of September. I do not think he was going to be the starting quarterback very long. You can see it. I know the team too well. I've been to these practices. Like it was not trending well. I don't root for anyone to get injured, but it was an easy one for Kyle because I believe he would have been benched and benched pretty quickly. Let's talk about where are they now. Let's rank the teams because these four teams, I mean, the Jets used the second overall pick. The Niners gave three first-round picks. The Bears traded next year's first-round pick to trade up for Fields. And obviously, Belichick, you could argue that Mac Jones was a huge reason that ended his career. We'll see if it ended his career. He might come back next year, but you know what I mean. Ended his Patriots tenure. I think by far the team in the best spot right now is the Niners because Brock Purdy has proven to be a more than capable. I mean, he was in the MVP discussion. He was probably going to win the MVP up until that Baltimore Ravens game, which then tilted it to Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson makes $50 million. Purdy makes $900,000. So when you factor in, he's a seventh-round player who can throw 30 touchdowns and lead a team to back-to-back NFC Championship games and to a Super Bowl, and you could argue who knows how that Eagle game would be if he didn't get hurt because I saw the Eagles. Now, they were different both years. The Eagles clearly were better that year. But that, we all know the game, it was going to be a real football game, and it wasn't because he got injured. But anytime you can get a guy, and you know he's good. You know he's good. And the thing with the 49ers, they have the most important piece, the head coach slash play caller, that in a weird way is the face of the franchise. Now, it does get a little more complicated when you got to pay him, but I would say Brock Purdy through a year and a half has been one of the greatest stories we've ever seen in the NFL. To me, a close second, and the reason I put this team second and not first, because we haven't seen him play a down of NFL football. But no one right now feels better about themselves, besides Chiefs fans, than Bears fans. And to go from Justin Fields and having the first pick in your back pocket to end up with Caleb Williams, but also having a high pick and getting another wide receiver, adding Keenan Allen, adding Montez Sweat, the Bears are feeling pretty good. Now, the difference between the Bears and the Niners, why the Bears ain't getting number one, Kyle Shanahan's a big-time coach. Eberflus, I don't know. How's your offense going to look? How's Caleb going to be as a rookie? I think he's going to be pretty good, but who knows? I mean, we've seen this all the time. I thought some of these guys in the 2021 draft class were going to be pretty good, and they're all on different fucking teams. 3 6-rounders and a 4th-rounder. So you barely give them away. So things change fast. I'm not trying to be negative. I can't wait to watch the Bears. I think they're one of the biggest stories in the NFL. But you do got to prove it on the field. Be like, Purdy's not better than Caleb yet. Well, we'll see. Like I've seen Purdy be in the MVP discussion at the end of December. Middlecoff, you're being a homer. Well, one team was just in the Super Bowl with the lead in overtime. I would say three, this is going to sound crazy, is just the hope of Drake May. It's just the hope of Drake May. I don't like anything about the Patriots. I think they are an organization in turmoil. I mean, they have a GM that they can't name a GM that has to like prove his worth. The owner's son wants to have all this power. First-time head coach who hasn't even been coaching that long. The talent on the roster is not great. Their offensive line isn't very good. Who knows if Drake May is even going to play this year. But at least you got the hope of a young player. And you know for a fact that you have him under a four-year contract. And if he's good, he'll be on your team for a second contract. That's why I have to put the Jets fourth. Because they had an opportunity to change their franchise. Turns out they didn't, because any of these guys they would have picked would have been a failure. But they get rid of Wilson, and now they have a 40-year-old quarterback that, let's face it, if this year doesn't go well, could easily retire. I mean, he's openly talked about it before. So even if Rodgers is good this year, what happens after this year? Like, part of the way I rank this is the big picture. You know, the Jets really have a Band-Aid on the situation. Now, you would gladly, to win 10, 11 games or to win the division, it'd be incredible. To host a playoff game, it'd all be worth it. And you would think if they have success, Rodgers would come back for another year. But let's face it, the way he talks, and maybe just talks a big game, but you are on borrowed time with the guy. And you have no future answer at the position. So I think the Jets are in the most tumultuous situation given just the status of his contract, his age, his injury now. And let's face it, and I would have done this deal. I don't blame you for trading for Aaron Rodgers, but he wasn't exactly coming off a great year. You know, it was trending down. Broncos traded for Russell Wilson, coming off a pretty bad year in Seattle, and it proved to be like the downward trajectory. So I would go Niners Purdy 1, Chicago Caleb Williams 2, Drake May just based on the hope and the youth 3, and the Jets in this weird Aaron Rodgers situation 4.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/JOHN. That's linkedin.com/JOHN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The NBA playoffs are here. We'll be breaking down all the action on the Colin Cowherd podcast. You'll get my best takes, great guests like my buddy Nick Wright. Check out the Colin Cowherd podcast, part of the Volume Network, available on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing GMs have consistently talked about over this period of time has been drafting R-type guys. And one thing you consistently hear post-draft is toughness, character, leadership, love of football. I mean, every GM says the same thing. Every single one. Like, we love the... I haven't seen Rand Carthen talk about Mr. DUI, but other than that, the majority of the guys in this draft seem to be a pretty high character group. Pretty high character group, right? Guys that haven't been arrested, guys that just love football. Like, I've been around this long time. Like, it feels like a pretty high level top 45 picks of just pretty good guys. Some of them really, really good guys. But one thing I remember Les Snead said after they, I think their third round, their final press conference, was like, this has become a lot easier doing this with Sean. This is our eighth draft. So we know exactly what we're looking for. This is, the draft isn't a fantasy football auction. You're not just trying to pick the best players. You're ultimately trying to pick the best people that fit in. Clearly, you have to have the talent to play on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and this year, I think, Wednesday. But we just use this figure speeches on Sundays. You got to have the baseline of talent. And I would say most guys, typically, they get drafted in the first couple rounds of a draft, have some high-end physical gifts. I've always thought what separates people is the stuff that you can't quantify. And it sounds cheesy, but the heart, the work ethic, the toughness. And toughness is more than just, you know, playing through a hamstring pull. It's mental toughness, the grind of the week. When you're tired in the offseason, do I want to do more? Do I get complacent where I'm at? How much am I willing to do to get better? And the better I get, the harder it is. The more money I get, the more fame I get. How much do I prioritize everything around football? And John Lynch said it to McAfee today. This was like Les Snead and McVay. They were all hired. Les was already there. But McVay, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, same year. We know exactly what we're looking for. It doesn't mean you're going to be right on every pick. I mean, half the draft, be out of the league in a couple years. But you know the traits and the people that fit into what you do. It's why certain players fit certain places that don't fit other places. Xavier Worthy makes a lot of sense with Andy and Veach. You know, Andy and Veach have worked together for 20-plus years. 20-plus years they've been together. Maybe it's like 18. But Veach was his personal assistant. It's a position Coach Reed has had for a long time. Sean McDermott started there as well. In the mid-2000s. So when they're looking at people slash players, they know what they're looking for. Eric DaCosta, retired Ozzie Newsome, and John Harbaugh have been together forever. So when they draft Nate Wiggins and everyone's like, of course they did. Of course they did. Because they're all on the same page. And I was watching some of McAfee with Howie. And he's like, the reality is when you're a GM and a head coach, like, that's your football marriage. That's your football marriage. And the longer you're together, I'm essentially married. Your boy might have a ring on the way, but that's probably keep that quiet. But the reality is, the longer you're together, you know more about the other person. What to say, when to say it, what needs to be said at certain times, you know, when they need support, when they don't need support. You get to know someone better. It's who do you know the best in your life? Even the older you get. Your family. Because for 18 years, whether it was your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, you spent a lot of time with those people. It's why that relationship is unlike any other. They're just, nothing's even close. Some of maybe your childhood friends or your college friends, the older you get, you've had this long-standing bond. But it's harder and harder the older you get to create that level connection. And when you do, it's pretty special. But the time, if you meet a close person at 40, is not the same, you know, relationship I would have with my brother that I've known since I was 4 years old. So I think these football teams that have the coach and the GM in place have just been together for, have such an advantage on the situation. It's why when I read these articles about people writing about, I can't believe the Rams gave up next year's second to get the defensive tackle from Florida State. Do they even read the value chart? What are you guys talking about? I understand being critical when you give up first-round picks. That is more than fair. That is a very, very valuable asset. But we just saw the Rams this year go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in football, the Lions, on the road in the playoffs. If Matt Stafford is healthy with their roster, you're talking about an 11-plus win team, 11-12 wins. And a team that a lot of people, if they're in the playoffs, will pick to win games. So their second round pick would be somewhere in the early to mid 50s. Guess what? If you have a first round pick and a third round pick, you can figure out a way to get a second round pick. It's not that big a deal. I can't believe the Lions traded a future third round pick
to get a dude in the fourth round.
Who gives a shit? This is not the Carolina Panthers. This is not some trash team. These are teams that have one goal when they step in OTAs. And it's not one of those Brian Daboll getting in front of the team or Jonathan Gannon getting in front of the team like, I think we can compete for the Super Bowl. Like, no, you can't. You got no shot. Let's just try to get over 7 wins, right? These are teams that look at everyone like, we got one goal, fellas, to be playing in February. You bet your ass we're playing in January, and we plan on winning those games. And if we're healthy, we'll be favored in those games. So trading future second and third round picks when the goal... Sean McVay almost left a couple years ago. Because that's all I've heard about. I can't believe the Rams traded this much. It's too rich. Sean McVay, to me, is on a year-by-year basis. He literally almost went to Amazon. Had to think long and hard about it. You were not guaranteed to have Sean McVay like a John Harbaugh for 20-plus years or a Mike Tomlin. You're just not. He's already super rich. Now as a child, it's an easy transition. Now, he might. I hope he does. I don't want him to leave the NFL. But every single year, especially for that organization, chips in the middle of the table. Look at the Lions. How are they going to upgrade over Ben Johnson? Like, more than likely, Ben Johnson isn't just going to be their offensive coordinator for a decade. Probably be his last year, especially if things go well. So, being aggressive about future picks when your time is now, never have any issue. You're talking, it's one thing like a top 30 pick. We're talking about picks in like the 50s and the 60s. What are we talking about? Another quick thing, you know, most of you don't know these people, and I don't even know a lot of them, but I've seen some headlines about different teams firing guys. When it comes to assistant coaches getting fired, it's very easy to quantify their impact, right? Like, you're the wide receiver coach, your wide receivers suck, like, you're just not doing good enough. Coordinators that get fired, very clear, like, this guy, not a good coordinator. And they get fired all the time. But they also make huge money. So when an offensive coordinator fails, and it's pretty clear he sucks, you know that guy's on a 7-figure contract? You know when a wide receiver coach or a linebacker coach gets fired, they're making $600,000-$700,000. These personnel people that are getting fired all over the league, it's not a lot of times based on your results, your ability at your job. Because I know a lot of guys who have been let go, myself included, that goes, God, that guy's really good at his job. The personnel department is much more about personalities. And did that guy bring you in? Do you get along with this guy? And you know the other thing in personnel? They're much closer to normal people jobs in terms of pay. Making $80,000, making $120,000, making $150,000. And I saw a headline today of a guy that got fired at an organization that I saw at the Combine. And he had left a very successful team with the buddy who was then running the team for a pay raise. But you could tell, and he didn't, I don't know him that well, but he was pretty lit. He'd had a few, and I had a few too. And I just vividly remember looking into his eyes, and you could just tell, like, God, I made a mistake. This sucks. And it has nothing to do with, like, I'm not good at my job because I was with a team that was rattling off playoff victories, going to Super Bowls for a decade. I know what I'm doing. But when you're not the decision maker, one, no one has to listen to you. Two, when you get fired, it's not like, well, he missed on 7 of the 10 guys we needed him to hit on. That's not the way it is. Where it's like, yeah, we fired our offensive line coach. Do you see the way our offensive line played? And the other thing is the money. It's why I feel no sympathy. I'll talk shit about coaches all day long because half of them to me are frauds, and half those frauds are making a ton of money and could never sniff that money in any other industry. Where these personnel guys get into it like I did because you're passionate about it, and then you realize you're not making that much money. It's a very fickle business, and if something goes wrong, a GM turns on you. They got to throw someone to the wolves. I'm not acting like everyone in the scouting departments are good. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying when these guys get fired, it's never about their ability, or very, very rarely. It's usually about personalities. and just restructuring, wanting to bring in your friends. It's wanting to bring in people you're comfortable with. And it's just, it's a shitty part about the job, and I just, something I don't miss. There is no amount of money you could pay me to go back. No amount of money.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Okay, Fugazi Friday. We had a skip last week. We got a bunch. Wanted to dive into that right now because I got a couple messages. I DM'd you back personally. You know, there's a line here. This is supposed to be fun, and we're having, you know, kind of laughing at stuff. You know, some of the stuff, and clearly, you know, impacts your life. Someone loses their life in a situation about a Fugazi with insurance companies. It pisses me off too. But this is, I try to keep this lighter. So certain ones I'm just not going to read because this is supposed to be fun. But listen, it is what it is. So it's like, if you send me a DM, I'm going to try to read it. Like this one. This is not super positive, but I was just fired from my job in television. This Fugazi Friday. I'm a weekend reporter and meteorologist. The company laid off a lot of part-timers. I'm using the job to pay my way through college. Now I'm stuck with the summer with nothing to do. Right as the summer begins. The corporate people think laying off on-air talent making $12 an hour will solve the company's problems. Maybe there are other issues they need to solve. I hear you. Luckily, which we turn this into a positive, you're in college, you're young. There's other line of works you can figure out to just keep your head above water. And, you know, I think it's a good example. And, you know, I think there's probably some parallels when I worked in radio to television. Middle management never wants to fire themselves. So it's very easy for these guys where you go, what is this guy actually doing? Who's making, depending on your market, 300, 500, 600 grand. They will cut anyone's head off to keep that paycheck rolling in. So I hear you. I feel for you. The best thing about getting fired, and I've been fired twice, is being young when you're fired because you still got options. And I'd argue even if you're old, you got options. But when you're young, especially in college, you got your whole world ahead of you. And that, you know, Fugazi that you went through, getting fired as a part-time employee or laid off or however you want to, you put it, is something that kind of shapes you moving forward. And I think one thing that helps in life is to realize how, if you're going to work in the private sector, how just cutthroat and cold this world is. Because that's what business is. And the faster you get numb to it, the easier it is to play the game. because you're either getting played or you're playing it. And obviously when you're young, you don't have as much control, but at least you know what you're getting into. And the quicker you kind of experience that, to me, the quicker it hardens and puts those calluses on you to kind of know what to look for and know what you want. And I would turn that experience into a positive experience. I really would. Even though it stings a lot early on. Because I've been hurt too. But then looking back, without those moments, it makes you stronger to attack life. Little Fugazi Friday. In New Jersey, and I think New York, the government officials passed laws about the use of plastic. In stores, they are not allowed to have plastic bags, and now you have to buy bags from stores, whatever. Trust me, I'm from California. We've been doing that forever. This is a Fugazi by itself. They also banned plastic straws. Now I have to drink my beverage with a shitty paper straw that disintegrates after 2 minutes and is horrible to use. Certain fast food places will give me my beverage inside of a styrofoam cup with a plastic lid. So what's the fucking point? I know that it's a small thing, but when you have to drink out of a shitty paper straw, it's very infuriating. Going to other states is such an eye-opener. Trust me. When I moved there, a big reason I'm in Arizona is because in 2020, when everything in California was locked down, they would beat you with a stick if you left your house, let alone didn't have a mask on. I came to Arizona for a golf trip, and everything was normal. I'm like, we're all breathing the same air. Everyone's here rocking and rolling. And over there, I was like, what is going on? And last year, when I went to Tahoe for the summer, you know, in Arizona, we don't have, you just get a plastic straw, you get a plastic straw. I went to Tahoe, and we went to Starbucks, and they gave us a paper straw. You can't solve a problem with something that doesn't work. That is not a solution. A paper straw is not a solution to the plastic straw because a paper straw melts in water. It honestly is one of the... In California, I mean, you could do crack on the sidewalk, yet you can't have a plastic straw. They give you a paper straw that does not work. You're like, what are we doing here? Nothing ever makes sense. But until social media, I have never heard of people that rooted for the government. That's what's weird to me, is like the media cheers on the government. Where I come from, we made fun of them all. Every single one of them. Like, one of the biggest Fugazis of all time is the government and people that work in government. Obviously, there are some capable people, but the way the setup is, like, how is this solving anything? Hint, it's not. And it never does. And that's a consistent theme with society. So plastic straws, it used to drive me up a wall. One thing I remember in like 2021, when everything in California was still like 2020, I was like, I'm not going to complain about this anymore. I'm not. I hate being angry all the time. So I just left. And I've been happy ever since. So, and I know my situation's different than other people's situation, but one thing I try to get away from is just complaining about all the things, and everything in the Bay Area used to drive me nuts. Little stuff like that, paying for the bags. I don't pay for bags. Give me paper bags, plastic bags, my own bags, whatever. I can have any bag I want here. So you just, sometimes you got to move, and you realize society operates a little different if you just cross an imaginary line. But paper straws are not a solution. They don't work. Fugazi Friday. NFL draft rankings immediately after the draft. Tough to get sold on someone being a good or bad pick without watching them play a snap in the NFL. Totally agree. Not much to say. Fugazi Friday. Friday weddings. Cheaper for the couple, but a pain for the guests. I've got 5 this calendar year, and I've got to take half or full days off just to attend. Rehearsal dinners would be on Thursday. I'm going to defend the Friday wedding for a hot minute. Wedding costs, having been to a lot over the years and just knowing people, knowing the finances that it costs for weddings, it's outrageous. It really would. It really is. I'm hammering this home. I will gladly go to the courthouse next week and get married. And however much money her side had set away. Give it to me. I'll put it in the stock market. I'll buy something, do something. But I have... Now, I get it. It's a big moment for people's family. Everyone's different. And I know, especially, you know, for her, it's a really, really big deal. But the costs on these weddings, I think you can't have the lowest budget wedding. You would struggle to get it for 25 grand. I mean, that's a lot of money. So you're talking 50, 80, 100 grand. I don't care. Most people are not upper middle class, let alone rich. That amount of cash to invest is a lot of money. And the prices, clearly with inflation, just the price of everything has never been higher. But if it's the difference, if you're someone, and I get it, and I understand it's hard for people attending, but put yourself in their shoes. Let's say they have 30 grand to put in a wedding. And it's the difference of like, we want to do it here, or this is where our families live, so we want to do it in this area. We can't afford to do it anywhere under 50 grand for a Saturday wedding. I think it's tough. And I get it. From your side, if it was me, I'd probably say, I can't make it. Got to work. But it to me, it's the cost. It just gets back to the outrageous price of everything, which literally everything has never been higher. And starting with this stuff, the venue, the food. I mean, it's not cheap, man. Now, weddings, you know, relative have never been quote-unquote cheap. But I would say hearing some of these stories these last couple of years, it's eye-opening. You're like, oh, you spent what? So hope you got a lot of pictures. Fugazi Friday. Annoyingly thick burgers. Burgers at restaurants have gotten too tall and are impossible to eat properly. All your toppings will fall out and you'll need a sink shower for your hands and face afterwards. Risky meal choices for first dates. Napkin management is a nightmare. At least with wings or ribs, you know exactly what you're signing up for. Ordering a burger in 24 is playing Russian roulette. People's jaws can't hang and the toothpick sword doesn't do shit. I think it's fair to say, unless you're going to like some diners, drive-ins, and dines, like a place that's known for a specific special burger, you should not need a massive knife to cut the thing in half. You should be able to grip the burger and fit it right in your mouth. I'm with you. I think the perfect size of a burger, even with the toppings. Now, obviously, it comes out if you're at a restaurant, the feng shui of the look of everything. They want everything to look cool, including the food, to have it kind of layered. But if you can't press it down and have a crisp bite, and again, there are certain places, certain barbecue joints in Texas or the South, or you know, every place has their like specialty. But your run-of-the-mill restaurant that's just serving a cheeseburger, I'm with you, because the toppings, everything, it's like I can't. This is not a functional meal. It's like, and I just don't want to order the chicken. I want a cheeseburger, but can we just make it possible to bite into the thing? And as a lover of cheeseburgers, who probably over under cheeseburgers in my life, 40 years old, 365, so we're talking, I don't know, 1,000? A lot of times I've eaten two, so it could be 1,500. I've eaten a lot of cheeseburgers. Yeah, I hear you there. Here's a little fugazi. Airline charges $125 for my pet to travel. Under the seat, zipped in a carrier for the entire flight. I don't know what, you know, we fly with little Lollies on Southwest Airline. She's a service dog to mitigate panic attacks, and she does a really good job. But doesn't cost you anything. So I don't know what airline you fly on. I don't know what to say to that. I'm pro little dogs being on the plane. If they're good travelers, just sit under, take a little snooze. No issue with dogs. I would say my experience with dogs, definitely better than kids. And I don't blame anyone you're traveling with the kids, but obviously little kids sometimes just freak out on planes and are crying. There's nothing you can do. Now there are levels. I sat next to one where the parents were on their iPads and stuff. Like, at least try to help. Like, your kid's crying bloody murder here. I don't think I've ever had an issue with another dog barking, saying a word. A lot of times when people come sit next to us and Lolly's on the plane, like, I didn't even know a dog was there. She just comes right on the seat, lays down, takes a snooze, flying back to Southern California or Northern California. So I get it, though. If I ran the airline, I would charge as well. I played a round of golf last Sunday afternoon, and the round cost over $100. On top of that, I had to pay $25 to take a cart. The course requires you to take a cart at that time, and there is no option to even walk. What exactly am I paying for here? The carts are electric, so there's no gas that needs to be filled. It just seems like an extra way the course can screw you. Am I missing something? Well, I've never seen the books of a golf course, but in college for a couple years, and I've played in them, you know, been playing golf my whole life. If you ever go to a cart barn, right, with the electric carts, which they all are now, there are a million chargers. So I would imagine there is some cost, could be speaking out of turn, of charging all the carts for the operation. Anyone running a golf course listening to this, maybe you can chime in, but maybe it's to compensate that. Maybe it's just the wear and tear of the golf course. If it's cart path only and they charge you, that feels like, are you fucking kidding me? Now, if you can drive it anywhere, you know, you got to pay the, you know, the maintenance of the grass. Depending on where you're playing, $100. I mean, if the course is decent, that seems like a pretty good deal. Now, if it's podunk nowhere, but if it's a $100 course, nice course, so you're basically charged $125 for a round of golf, I'd argue it's a pretty good price point. Again, I have to see the course and, you know, where you're living and the different options, but I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I would just view it as the cost of the round, $125. Honestly, that course is stupid. They should just build the cart's price into the round, especially if they're mandating that you take a cart. Have a Fugazi Friday for you. I'm not sure if you have this in the States, but in New Zealand, we have payless payment. But the Fugazi is the banks are charging businesses who pass on the customer 1.5% to use PayWave or something similar. I can save that 1.5% by inserting my bank card and tapping in my PIN. It takes about 20 seconds longer, so isn't a big deal. But when I'm out and I have my phone, the fact that an extra 1.5% is tacked on to Payless is a massive ripoff and a bank Fugazi. Your thoughts? I don't know exactly what that would be in the States. I don't think it's not called Payless, but I'm an investor in this company called Toast. Whenever you go to a restaurant, some gas stations have them. When you tap your card, that little mechanism is the brand. And the reason I invest in, they get a cut of every time that a transaction happens. Like, someone has to make money. They're providing a service. So I've never worked in the banking industry, but we're all getting dinged some way or another. Like, that's how all these people make money, right? If you have a nice credit card with, you know, usually you're paying a yearly fee. So it's just in some way or another, I don't, call me old school, put any of my credit cards on my phone, like Apple Pay, I guess is something a lot of people use. I just carry my wallet with me. So if I have an issue, I just use my card. But I'm sure I'm getting dinged all the time. I don't even notice. I guess maybe here in the States, you're just so numb to all the charges. I mean, you get taxed on taxed on tax. You're like, fuck, just here's the money. I was staying at a hotel the other night when I see a card left for me on the nightstand with a name on it. The name was of the housekeeper that cleaned the room I was staying in, and there was a QR code on the card. The card stated, "It's never been easier to tip," and the QR code for a website to tip the housekeeper that cleaned my room. Fugazi, or is this commonplace? Well, I think with technology, I would imagine this stuff's going to come more in vogue, stuff like that. I do think whenever you're staying at a hotel and you see the amount of shit these people have to clean up, I try always to leave $20 or $10 or hand them the money. I would never put it in the QR code because who knows how that thing's getting divvied up. If you just leave the cash, you can just put it in your pocket. But yeah, I mean, I think more and more these QR codes, they're not going away. I'll promise you that. But I do think the housekeeping one is an easy one. if you feel, you're not obligated, but like that job sucks. And I mean, I leave my hotel rooms just when I'm staying by my towels everywhere. It's dirt, you just food. It's just gross. Think of the amount of people that that sucks. I always try to do that. And sometimes I'm not going to act like I do it every time. Sometimes you forget, but I would always leave cash. I would never in a million years hit the QR code. Zero chance. Will never happen till the day I die. Because you can just, there's always going to be a human coming in. Just leave the cash on the desk. When with this, Fugazi Friday. Let me know if that drone donut company goes public. I'd short that stock into oblivion. I agree. The drone donut company will never work. Have a good weekend.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.